Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 11. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, there's so much to learn in this book. And Lord, of course, just a brief time to give an overview. But Lord, as we focus in on our Bible study, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to really glean and gain from this study tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Nehemiah is the 16th book of the Bible, 13 chapters, 406 verses, 10,483 words, 3 verses of fulfilled prophecy, 14 commands, and 24 questions. A lot of questions in the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to direct your attention to verse number 18. And we'll let this be our theme verse and the verse that we will try to memorize this week. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Excuse me. Nehemiah is the author. We know this because of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah. That's the first 4 words of the book, the words of Nehemiah. And of course, the title is it's named after its earthly penman, Nehemiah. We'll introduce you to him more thoroughly in just a minute. The theme of Nehemiah, this is the one I'm going to select, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. God had prepared a man by the name of Nehemiah to lead in the rebuilding of the wall surrounding Jerusalem. Remember, Ezra came, Zerubbabel, and then Ezra, and what God had called them to do was to rebuild the temple. And so the temple was rebuilt, and worship was restored. However, folks, there was no wall to protect Jerusalem. And so a wall was important in those days, both for defense and also to build a barrier of separation. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. The theme of Nehemiah is let us rise up and build. God prepared a man by the name of Nehemiah to lead in the rebuilding of the wall surrounding Jerusalem. In order to accomplish this, Nehemiah had to lead the people to build. But wait a minute, he also had to teach the people to battle. And you know what, folks? Anytime that God leads a man to go somewhere and try to build something for the Lord, I promise you it won't take the devil very long to stir up some opposition to it. And so you remember that classic time, and we'll look at it maybe briefly tonight, where every man, when they went to work, they had a trowel in one hand as they did the stone, the masonry work, and a sword in the other hand. And they were willing to fight for what God had called them to do. So he had to teach them both to build and inspire them, if need be, to battle. It is the story of a remarkable feat accomplished, watch this, in just 52 days by a people who had a mind to work. And we learn this in Nehemiah chapter 6. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the main month of Elul in 52 days. And then it goes on to say this, and it came to pass then when all our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Verse number 17, for he speaks up to let the folks know why he's there. What's the rest of that portion of scripture is about? Getting Nehemiah ready, breaking his heart in chapter 1 over the condition of Jerusalem, getting him to pray and trust God, and then God providing a miracle and giving him favor with the king, and then the trip to Jerusalem. And then you see that, we read about that midnight survey that he took. And you know what? He hadn't told anybody. The rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. You say, why? Why in the world wouldn't he tell at least one person? Because if he told one of them, they were probably Baptists, and everybody would have known in 24 hours. Somebody would have put it on Facebook, and there it's all over the place now. So I found out this. If you want to keep a secret, the best person to tell is nobody. Amen. And you know what? I think Nehemiah just needed this time to get some things settled in his heart. You know, I appreciate this. He didn't go in there half-cocked. He was there for 3 days, never said a word about why he was there. Took that midnight journey. You know what? He had to get a clear vision, a clear assessment of the situation, and come up with a clear plan before he opened his mouth and said anything about it. By the way, that's pretty smart. That's pretty smart. You know, there are a lot of people that speak up and talk about what needs to be done, but they've never taken any time to consider how to get it done. And so that's one of the things that separates a leader from the average person. And Nehemiah definitely was gifted by God with leadership skills. And so we see the preparation of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and 2, the building of the wall, chapter 3 through 6, the genealogy of the first remnant, chapter 7, then amazing two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, the great spiritual revival that happens after the completion of the wall. And I wanted to teach through that tonight, and instead God's directing me into chapter 4. And then 10, 11, and 12, the census of the people, the priests and the Levites, and then the last chapter, the law and separation. And that's the outline of the book. The main characters, well, God, again, is front and center. And so he's the main character of every book in the Bible. Then we have Nehemiah. And then I'd like to credit, even though we don't list the names, because you can read chapter 3 and see those, but I want to tip my hat to the builders in Nehemiah, that group of people, group of the remnant that just came together and said, you know what, let us rise up and build. Let's strengthen our hand for this good work. And you know what, give me a section of the wall. And you know what, Nehemiah, what's the plan? And let's execute it. And let's do it. Let's help. Let's get this thing done. And that was the majority of the Jewish people that were there. They got involved in it. The Bible talks about the nobles. They would not put their necks to the work. And you know what, folks, listen to me. I think when by their own estimation, they thought that they were noble and they thought that maybe they were above it. But it's amazing when you read down through there that everybody else, and by the way, some of them noble born, there's a lot of them that went ahead and got involved. And folks, listen, never get too big in your own mind to be willing to serve the Lord. Never get too big in your own mind to be willing to serve the Lord. And you know what? If you can do what you can do for the Lord, and the Lord will bless you for that. And then the other main characters are three rascals by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about them. But they were the leaders of the opposition and pretended to be spiritual. We're going to see that. Pretended and tricked, by the way, tricked many of the people in Judah. They had supporters in Judah. They had supporters amongst the Jews. And they pawned themselves off as somebody that they weren't. And they tried to usurp Nehemiah's authority and undo God's plan. And they did this in several different ways. And we're going to study that beginning now. Go, if you will, to Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'd like to just walk through chapter 4 because I think chapter 4 gives us a great opportunity to learn some very, very vital, very important truths from Nehemiah. So this will be the focus of our study is this one chapter. Chapter 1 and 2, Nehemiah is getting the vision from God, getting his heart prepared, laying the prayer support, getting a plan together. And now, chapter 3, we have the organization and the building of the wall and the assignments. And you know what it is, folks? Let me tell you what it is. It's like vacation Bible school. It's about, hey, let's put everybody in position. Let's give everybody a section of the wall. And everybody, by the way, focus on what's in front of you and do your job well. And you know what? Don't worry about the guy on your right, guy on your left, what somebody else is doing. Just whatever you're given to do, do it. And let me have my section of the wall, and let's just put it together. And it's amazing what God can do when people just have a mind to work together. And so we see that the minute that God sends Nehemiah to oversee the rebuilding of the wall, here comes opposition. And we've already mentioned these three, read a little bit about them at the end of chapter number 2. But chapter 4, verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end to in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And the answer to those questions pretty much is yes, 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 and yes. Except, of course, they won't do it in a day. It's going to take 52 days. So I guess there needs some clarification on that. But begin to question what they were trying to attempt there. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to just get this in your heart, figure it out so that you're not, you know, moved by it. And you're not, you figure it out. It comes with the territory. If a church is going to do something for the Lord, then opposition is always going to arise. Don't be shocked when it happens. My goodness sakes. I'd be worried if it didn't happen from time to time. I would be worried that we're not doing enough for the Lord if we didn't have some opposition from time to time. And so this opposition came through three different types. There's three different types of opposition they had to overcome in these short 23 verses of this chapter number 4. Opposition by verbal ridicule. Words, you know what? People sometimes just verbally ridicule the work of God. Who do they think they are? What do they think they're going to accomplish? What do they think they're going to do? And then opposition by outward anger. And the Bible says that he was wroth. And you know what? Threats and anger. And sometimes we're intimidated by these things. You know what people say? Their demeanor. Opposition, you know, I think it was Samuel that told me, I was asking him how visitation went today, and he said, was it you that said somebody offered you a beer today on visitation? I never did get an answer from you. Did you take it, not take it? Okay, you're good, all right. And then I think it was Travis and Dalton that got to win somebody to the Lord today on visitation. Travis did. And then I think he said they went to another property and a lady ran you off the property. Is that right? So, hey, you know what? That's all in a day's work for a Christian. Amen. You go to one house and somebody gets saved. You go to the next house, somebody comes out with a shotgun. It's the way it goes. Was there a shotgun involved? No. All right. Thank goodness for that. But that's just the way it is. You know, not everybody's excited about what we're trying to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so expect it, you know, verbal ridicule. You know what? That's how you identify a Sanballat. That's how you identify a Tobiah. I like Nehemiah. You know what? He wasn't wishy-washy. Way back here in chapter 2, when they begin to laugh and scorn and despise and said, what is the thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. You know, he kind of drew a line there. If you're his servant, you'll come over here and arise and build. But since you don't want to do that, he goes on to say, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. You know what a good leader does, folks? Watch this, and it makes people uncomfortable. He identifies the scorners and he points right at them and he lets everybody know who they are. Hey, by the way, they're not for us. Okay, now some of the Jews weren't smart enough to figure that out. By the end of this book, when everything's done and settled, Nehemiah leaves, comes back, and guess who they have moved into the temple house and given him his own special room of honor? Tobiah. The high priest he was in cahoots with him. And Nehemiah leaves, and they take this guy that has spent the entire book trying to derail the will of God and keep the wall from being built and spread rumors and lies about Nehemiah. and stir up division, and they give him a place of honor. Now, folks, listen to me. You got to be smarter than that. Okay, you got to be smarter than that. All right, listen to what people say. If somebody's verbally ridiculing the work of God, you better identify them for who they are. Okay, if when good things are happening in the church house, somebody's always angry about it, you better figure out who they are. Okay? And then opposition by subtle rumors. And this is to stir up fear. And they begin to spread rumors that there was an army that was going to come in and attack, and that they were going to come in and destroy, and they were going to kill those people that were working. So there was opposition by verbal ridicule, by outward anger, and by subtle rumors. And listen, folks, doing the Lord's work in a hostile environment required the laborers to carry more than just tools to the work site. And we already mentioned this. The Bible says in verse 18, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And so this was what they expected. This is what it was. I dare you to show me any place in the Bible where somebody started doing something for God where there wasn't some opposition. I mean, folks, probably the greatest church planter in the history of the world was the Apostle Paul. Please show me one town he went to where there wasn't a problem, where there wasn't opposition, where there wasn't rumors, where there wasn't a riot, where there wasn't a couple nights spent in jail somewhere. And it's just something we have to understand. They that will live godly shall suffer persecution. So don't let it discourage you. Don't let it shock you. Don't let it take you by surprise. If you're going to do right, then you know what? You're going to have a verbal ridicule. You're going to have somebody that just gets mad about it. I mean, threatens and all of this and subtle rumors. People will start rumors about you, and it's just part of it. And I wish it wasn't so, but it is. So you know what? That's all right. You know what? Get your sword. Get your trial and keep building. That's what you do, okay? Now, let me call to your attention some really good, I think, great truths tonight. Let me just read some of them. God sent Nehemiah to lead the people to rebuild the wall. And you know what? God didn't have to, but he's always, come on, just look in the Bible and show me where God didn't choose a leader or a man for everything that God wanted to accomplish. I mean, you know, when he wanted to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, God could have come down on a glory cloud, thrown all the plagues around himself and ushered them out following that pillar, and didn't have to use a Moses. But you know what? That's how God's chosen to operate. And you know what, folks? Figure out who the man of God is. And I'm going to tell you something. You'd be wise to stand by and with the man of God. Number two, the devil sent men to try to stop the rebuilding of the wall. So God sent Nehemiah. The devil goes and finds three men. You know what? Most of the time it seems like we're outnumbered. But remember this, you and God are a majority. Number three, these enemies of God tried to stop the work of God using ridicule, threats, and rumors. Their goal was to discourage the people, frighten the people, so they would stop doing what God had sent them to do. More and more. By the way, let me just say this. I flip through, and I don't think I watch a second of news on TV. I don't have time, for one thing. But I've got a little Fox News app on my phone, and about once a day I'll go through and just flip through the headlines, and I'll go down and read headlines. Let me tell you what's getting to be more and more of a daily, almost a daily thing. Almost every day there is now an article on Fox News where some group of Christian, American Christians, are under some type of attack or persecution for just exercising our religious rights. And folks, why is those getting to be put on the news all the time? Why is that getting to be a leading story? Why is that always part of the mix? You know what? They're trying to get us scared. They're trying to get us fearful. They want us to get quiet. Oh, that person got in trouble for this. This person got fined for this. This person got arrested for this. And folks, it's going to get worse. And you know what? What you've got to be careful is letting the fear of men. The fear of men bringeth a snare. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Thank you very much. And so praise the Lord. Listen, they're trying to discourage the people, frighten the people. And you know what you'll find out? A good leader, and I don't care if it's a leader in the home or a leader in the church or whatever ministry it is, a good leader gets up on a regular basis and says, folks, listen to me, we're here to build a wall. And you know what? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. And you know what? That's of the devil and they're against God. And don't worry about it. Let's just go do it. And, you know, I mentioned I think Sunday morning, that this whole matter of courage and being an encourager, if you're courageous in your Christian life, then you know what? You'll help bring courage to other people. Number four, Nehemiah answered these attacks with three countermeasures. In verse 4 and 6 of this chapter, we see prayer. In verse 9, we see watchfulness. And verse 16 and 17, manly resolve. And you know what? That's how they finished the wall. I'm glad they started with prayer. We better always start with prayer. Amen. Better always start with prayer. But this matter of watchfulness, folks, we'll pay some attention to it in just a moment. I want to settle in on that in a point. Now, let's draw from this story some principles that will help us to continue the work of God that He's called us to do here in Jasonville, Indiana. See, I believe some things. God has given Blessed Hope Baptist Church a work to do. A work to do. This is an exciting year to be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, think about it, 2015 and the first half of 2016, we have been and are still laying the groundwork for launching a brand new church, a great work for God, in a place that is in dire need of it. I'm talking about the church plant down in Princeton. We've been working hard, preparing the materials, laying the foundation for a new church plant. By the way, at the same time, we've been working hard to continue to work, to grow the work here in Jasonville. Both are part of God's plan for us in 2016. This month, Vacation Bible School, Teen Conference, and that's part of what we're doing this month, and that's for us, and that's for this community, and that's for our, but you know what, folks, we get the keys to the building down there on July 1st. In July and August, think about those 2 months, July and August. If we're going to start a church the first week of September, that's a pretty short runway to get the plane off the ground, amen? So guess what? July and August, we've got two main tasks, two main events ahead of us. We need to do the physical remodeling of the leased building, and that's going to take some guys down there with some carpenter skills, and here's a section of the wall. Let's get this done, and you know what that means? That means some late nights, and that means some long days, and that means just doing what we got to do and get it done. I promise you, when the first Sunday happens in September, if you put your hand to that and you had a part of that, you're going to be glad. You're going to be glad. But it's just not the physical remodeling of the leased building. It's the spiritual seed planting through door-to-door canvassing and witnessing and passing out John and Romans and door hangers. And folks, we're going to have that organized and ready to go. By the 1st of July, we're going to present to you a schedule so you'll know what days we're going to do what. And as many of those days as you can plug in and be a help, man, come on down and do it. We've got some help coming from sister churches and some help coming from some ministries that provide and focus in on construction projects. And Brother Reiser's organizing all of that. And it's going to be a whirlwind. Now, folks, listen, it's not undoable. Say, preacher, but you don't understand, those 2 months, we're only talking about 61 days. Yeah, I guess we just got 61 days to remodel one building and get some flyers out. Good thing we didn't ask you to build a wall, because then we'd have had to get it done in 52 days, amen? And I want to say that to encourage you. You know what the difference, listen. You know what the difference is? If we don't get done what we need to do in those 61 days and they build a wall in 52 days, let me just say something, shame on us. Shame on us. And I want you to get a mind to work and a mind to build and a mind to be involved and make a difference. Every single soul that's saved in the Princeton Vincennes area through this ministry. I don't know about you, but I want my labor to have a little bit of part of that. I'd like to have some of that reward on my account when I stand before Jesus one of these days. And so this is what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Before any building could be accomplished, let me say this, rubbish had to be removed. And you know what? I don't know what you remember about Dad and what you don't, but I think one of my favorite messages that he ever preached was on rubbish removal. My dad loved the book of Nehemiah. My dad was a builder. I mean, he was a builder by nature. And God used him to build, And I know God built the work, but he uses men. And he uses leaders. And you know what? God used him here at this church to help lead in the building of a strong ministry here. He just had a builder's mentality. And knew how to organize, knew how to motivate. But you know what? One of the things that he would preach on out of Nehemiah on a regular basis was this matter of rubbish removal. Now we're in chapter 4, right? This word rubbish is only found two times in the entire Bible, both in this chapter, one in chapter two, verse 2, and one in verse number 4. So let's read it. Verse number 2, and he spake before his brethren, the army of the Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearer of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, one of the great truths that is connected to this idea, folks, is a Bible precept and a Bible principle that you have to understand. You know what? If they were going to rebuild that wall, they had to get back down to the foundation of that wall. And you know what that means? They had to get rid of the rubbish. And a lot of that rubbish was from the destruction of the Babylonians that came in, and they wreaked havoc. The Bible talks about the burned rubble there. And I'm looking at a wall. I'm thinking about a wall that's broken down. And you know what? When they said there was much rubbish, can you picture it? It wasn't just a matter of going out and moving a few logs and getting rid of a little bit of a few stones. I mean, they had to clear it out. There was a lot of work involved in just getting to the point where they could start building. And you know what? One of the biggest challenges in the ministry that I'm facing right now is, thank God when people get saved. And I mean that. And I want you to understand, I'm not complaining about this. I understand it's part of the ministry. But it's amazing, before a person can begin to go forward in their Christian life and really build stuff, the average person comes in with a lot of rubbish on the foundation. They just do. And you know what? If you don't take the time to remove that rubbish, if you decide, well, that's too much work, let's just build on top of it, then you know what? That's not very wise, and that wall's not going to be very strong. You have to get rid of the rubbish. You have to get rid of the rubbish. And you know what? I think what we need to look at is in our own personal life and ask the Lord to help us to think about, Lord, you know what? We're going into an important time. Folks, listen to me. If it's not getting right with God time and getting clean time and getting the rubbish out time, I don't know when it is this year, because we got a whole lot coming at us. And you know what we all need to do? We need to make sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives. You know what? You can't build on a foundation of littered with unconfessed sin. You just can't build on that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about getting clean and getting clear with the Lord. I'm talking about, you know what? Getting things under the blood, getting them taken care of. By the way, not only getting things right with God, let's get things right with people. If you got a bunch of rubbish in your life and you're constantly creating rubbish and you never clean the rubbish off, you're never going to be able to build anything that's going to last and stand and be a good testimony for the Lord. This is good for us. Now, listen to me. I want to just say this, because folks, listen, I'm not a novice, okay? I didn't fall off the turnip truck. I drove it in the driveway tonight. I've led a lot of things. I've watched how the devil works. Did I just tell you that July, the rest of this month in July and August, what it's going to take to get this done? Can I just say this? Are you determined in the next 2-3 months, are you determined to rebuild a wall, or are you determined to produce more rubbish? And that is good. That's a good question to ask ourselves. Are you in the rubbish clearing business or the rubbish producing business? Hey, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, every mother in here that's got toddlers. All right? And I mean, you look around and a tornado hit the house. And you know what? This is going to be the day, and I'm going to get this house clean. The only problem is you've got toddlers. And you work hard in one room and you get it completely speck, and then you go to the next room. And you get it all speck and clean, and you walk back to the room that you just had clean, and the little kid got loose in there. And you know what they are? They're little rubbish producers is what they are. I mean, they can undo more work in 5 minutes than you could have done in an hour. You know what? It doesn't take much effort, much skill. Let me say this. It just doesn't take much brains to create a mess. It takes some effort and some organization to clean up a mess. It doesn't take much. You know, a toddler can create rubbish. I mean, just, you know, take all the nursery kids and put them in that room with all the toys in there. Just leave them alone for 10 minutes. Come back and look at what the room looks like if there's not supervision. Now, you know why they're that way? Look up here. Come on. This is good for us, because they're immature, because they're babies. Now, listen to me, folks. Listen, at some point, you got to grow up in your Christian life. I mean, last 2 weeks, look back in the rearview mirror of your life. Have you cleaned up rubbish, or are you producing rubbish? Okay? I promise you, I got enough to do. And if I get something cleaned up, I don't need you coming in and messing it up again. And you know, I said this when I was preaching for a brother the other day and trying to help him out a little bit. And I said to his church, I said, let me tell you something. Listen, folks, you know what? One or two people in a church can create more of a mess than a pastor has time to spend cleaning up for a week. I'm not talking about unfortunate circumstances. I'm not talking about trials and tribulation. I'm talking about immature foolishness. I'm talking about growing up. I'm talking about building a wall. I'm talking about getting a church started down here. I'm talking about seeing a bunch of kids saved for VBS. Excuse me if my patience level right now is going to be real thin when it comes to just somebody wanting to sit in the middle of the pile and make a big mess. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? All right, well, I'm just going to take that as a dare. You know who you are then. And I know who you are. All right, and I'm announcing, I'm blowing the trumpet. You know what I need? I need you all to help clean up messes, not create new ones. So start with your own heart. Hey, by the way, if you're having a good time right now, this isn't bothering you, you're in a good place. If you're just seething right now inside, it's because God's Holy Spirit, it didn't have nothing to do with me, it has God's Holy Spirit's got your number. Okay, preacher, what do you know that's going on that I don't? I don't know anything. I'm the last one to find out most things around here. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not part of your little gossip group. I don't know what's going on. But I know how the devil works. I've been doing this a long time. Young people getting ready. Are we getting ready to go to youth conference? Are we getting ready to go to youth conference? Do you know what I've told you 1,000 times? You know what? We want to go up there and see revival. And you know what? We're going to be leaving in about 10 days or so. And I promise you, in the next 10 days, God's going to give you, or the devil's going to give you more opportunity to have a fuss with somebody, get mad at somebody, or decide you're going to click up with somebody and ignore somebody, mistreat somebody. And that's one of the reasons. You know what? I'm sorry. Parents, like it, lump it. But you know what? I'm not babysitting a bunch of immature baby scorners that just want to cause trouble in the youth group. I ain't doing it. Okay, kids that are serious-minded, want to serve the Lord, come on. I don't even mind if kids struggle a little bit. I'll help them. But if they're just going to spend the entire time trying to keep anything good from happening, godly happening, you know, they're bent on destruction and rubbish, producing rubbish, then you know what? They can go play in their sandbox by themselves. And they grow up enough to be a man or a young lady and love God enough or finally get saved enough, then you know what? We'll get some job done. We can work with them. We can help them a little bit. Okay, but I'm too old, 55 years old. Good, I got probably 15 years left maybe, 70. As honorary as I've been, I'll be lucky to see 60. I probably got 5 years left. And excuse me if I don't want to waste my 5 years on a bunch of kids that don't want it. Don't want it. You know what? Give me the kids that want it. I'll leave my legacy with them. Amen. Amen. Jesus went to the disciples and said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Turned around and walked away. You know what? Then they had to make a choice. Come on. Don't criticize me for being like Jesus. Amen. I want to find some young people that want to serve God. I'm going to invest my time and my efforts into them. The rest of you, get to the point where you stop sucking your thumb, growing up. Okay? Get off your passy. Lose your blankie. Okay? Get out of your pull-ups. Decide that God's worth serving. Decide that you owe Jesus a debt. Decide that Calvary meant something and was for something. And by the way, I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about a lot of young adults around here. Amen and amen. Excuse me, just a minute. Amen! Thank you. I needed that. Praise the Lord. You know, spend your life. Go ahead. Well, I'm building a wall. Amen. I'm going to try to see we can get a church started. I'm going to see if we can do as much soul winning as possible. See if God can do something in VBS. See if God can do something in teen conference. Amen. That's what I'm about. If you're not about that, okay. Sam Ballett, Tobiah, Geisham. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Here we go. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Well, I was talking about my trial that I have because I want to build. But just for a few minutes there, I went ahead and pulled my sword out and just kind of waved it around a little bit and said, okay, just in case you decide you want to stop what God's doing, you got a preacher that's not afraid to pull the sword out. Amen. God's work is the number one priority. Number two, all right? Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God's called us to do a work. Number two, God's work is the number one priority. Number one priority. Number one priority. The work of God needs to become the number one priority for the next few months. Okay, I know there's a lot of things, and I get it. There's going to be a lot of things that get let go at the Ross House, and there's going to be a lot of projects I really need to spend time. But you know what? This is an important stretch. You know what you do? You just build the wall. Hey, how much you think got done in 52 days when it came to the people's personal stuff? You know what they did? For 52 days, they just kind of let, you know what? Furniture didn't get dusted. Okay, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, a lot of things didn't get done. Probably by the time they got done, the yard really needed mowed. Well, I don't know, maybe the desert, I don't know. The sand needed raked, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is they said, number one, let's get this thing done. Because of that, they pulled it off, a miracle. They pulled off a miracle in 52 days. If given the chance, are you willing to come and help build something for the Lord? I mean, do you have the work ethic, number one? Do you have the dedication? Do you have the selflessness? And by the way, do you have the know-how to build something for the Lord? And you know what, folks, let me just encourage you, man. In every area of your life, develop as many skills as you possibly can so that you can help in the Lord's work. I mean that. All of those skills aren't pulpit skills or platform skills. There's a lot of things that are going to need to be done that we need guys that just have a skill set to do and work. And that's why you ought to, young people, young men, you ought to learn everything you can. You don't know how many times something you learn as a teenager you're going to be able to plug in and use in God's work later on. Okay? If training is available, are you humble enough to receive instruction so you can maximize your potential as a builder? Number three, there are enemies who have dedicated themselves to try and stop the work of the Lord. The devil, I'm going to say it, hates Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The devil continues to influence men and women to stand against the work of God. This is nothing new. God's work has always had enemies. Outward enemies use ridicule. Outward enemies scoff at what we're trying to accomplish. Outward enemies spread rumors and lies against the people who are trying to do the work. Outward enemies scorn separation, criticize soul winning, scoff at holiness, become angry when they hear of God's good hand upon this work and upon this church. Outward enemies make dire predictions concerning the future of God's work. Wise builders ignore them. Wise builders pray. Wise builders are watchful. Wise builders are willing to arm themselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Number four, it's important to be sober and vigilant in these dark days. And I believe that the Bible gives us plenty of admonition in that area. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. I love that. What a balanced verse. Look at verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. I said prayer was important. But you know what they did after that? They set a watch against them day and night because of them. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Mark 13:37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch. We're talking about being vigilant, being sober. Keep your eyes open. Devil's going to be attacking. Watch, be sober. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit yourself like men, be strong. All right? 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, vigilant, sober, vigilant, sober. Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Titus 2:6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we have, of course, the admonition in 1 Peter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've taken some time, but what are you saying? We need prayer, but we need also watchfulness. Nehemiah, you know how he defeated the enemies, got the work done, prayed, but then he set a watch. So he answered these attacks through not only prayer, but watchfulness and a willingness to carry a sword. So let's be vigilant. Could I ask you in the next 90 days, folks, to be vigilant? Be vigilant in searching out unconfessed sin in your own life. Close the doors of satanic influences in your life and in your home. I mean, it's time to clean the music up, and it's time to clean the movies out of your life. It's time to clean the rubbish. Get the garbage out. Get the rubbish out. Okay, because there's going to be, I mean this, eternity is going to reveal what happens in about the next 90 days. You hear your preacher blowing a trumpet? It's time to spend extra times on our knees praying. It's time to, listen, it's not time to be playing around with sin or sneaking around doing some secret stuff. This isn't the time. It's time to get clean and get right with God and right with others. And kids, let's get right with your parents. And you know what? If you got some apologizing you need to do, get some apologizing. Get clean. Get clean. Close the doors of satanic influence in your life and in your home. Number three, have discernment in whose counsel you receive. And I'm not going to go there. I mentioned it in passing early because of time. I won't go there, but it's amazing to me how many of the Jews never did figure out who the real enemy was. Never figured it out. I mean, they were aligned with Tobiah. Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to have you look at that. Nehemiah chapter 6. Just amazing to me. Remember the first two verses? 15 and 16, chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. We've read them a couple times now. 52 days. 52 days it was built. Verse 16, came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that the work was wrought of our God. Moreover, now here it is. Here's the three verses just blow my mind. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him because he was the son-in-law. Wait a minute. Watch this. Amazing how when we're related to somebody, we get blind. Better wake up. We get related to something. Well, blood's thicker than water. Yeah, why don't you consider the blood of Jesus? That ought to be thicker than family blood. Amen. But they were related to somebody who was related to somebody who was a friend of somebody, so they were blind. Okay, they were blind. Oh, Nehemiah, you just misunderstand Tobiah. I can hear him. You just misunderstand him. You're just reading him wrong. He's a sincere guy. He's a good guy. He's a godly guy. He's just trying to help. Verse number 19, they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. So they're over there all the time talking up Tobiah. And then they go over and everything that they overhear, they run over and tell Tobiah, well, Nehemiah said this. He said this about you. He said he's going to do this next. Isn't that sad? How is it that Nehemiah can walk in and spend 3 days there and walk around and make an announcement and boom, know who the three guys are that's going to give him the most trouble? And so many people that's there that's part of the work can't figure it out. It's called discernment, spiritual discernment. Amen? And so be careful. Have discernment in whose counsel you receive. Okay? I mean, I don't mind you sharing what's going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church if who you're sharing it to is excited about the good things that's happened about at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But who have you got to the habit of either through some social media reporting every negative thing or every bad thing or everything that you perceive to be bad? And who is that person that's got into your life? Okay, amen. So I'm talking about the work here. I'm talking about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number five, in order to keep building, we must at times be prepared to battle. 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. You know what? Brother Paul had to learn to fight. Yeah, he did a lot of building, but he did a lot of battling. Hebrews 11:34, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How about that? Part of the Christian life is just learning to fight. Don't fight over stupid. I'm going to tell you something. There's things worth fighting for. There are. In order to battle wisely, we must be brave and united in our response to the enemy. Nehemiah, everywhere he went, he had a young man there that had a trumpet. And he told everybody, if I told that young man to blow the trumpet, you run towards where the trumpet was blown. You figure out where that sound is and you get here. And folks, can I say this, Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I can't have 7 or 8 different trumpets going off in different areas. Okay, you know where the trumpet needs to be blown and when it needs to be blown and who's blowing it? The one that the pastor says, okay, blow the trumpet now. And honestly, we can't have things going six different directions. Okay, there's a reason that we have a chain of command. There's a reason we do things decently in order. There's a reason that we plan things out. And there's a reason that there's accountability. And it's not to lord over anybody. It's because there's a way to get it done, a way to get the job done. And so don't be blowing a trumpet if you haven't been asked to blow it. And when we have to fight, fight valiantly, because God will fight for us. In the last few verses, look at 19 and 20. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place will therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort you thither unto us, for God shall fight for us. And here's the comfort at the end of this kind of sermon slash pep talk tonight. Here's the comfort, folks, is, preacher, you know what? It's going to get rough, isn't it? Yeah. And we may have to do some fight. Well, yeah, but God will fight for us. Remember this. We fight so that we can build. It's important that you realize that. Listen, the only reason I'm interested in fight, I don't go pick fights. I just fight so that I can build. Okay, somebody comes in and starts interfering with something, some way that we can build, then we got to fight. But you know what? God hasn't called us to be professional soldiers, and you know, we just fight so that you can build. Okay? So we're builders first and warriors second. We should never leave the work of God to become professional Christian soldiers. We're to be builders first, warriors second. Boy, I hope that's been helpful to you. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, so much. Boy, I felt like there's so much we left unsaid. So much in this chapter. But thank you, Lord, for the book of Nehemiah and for the great example of this leader. And Lord, thank you for the miracle that happened in Jerusalem. And I imagine every single person had a part in that wall. I mean, years and years later, decades later. I mean, a young man that was just a boy, but he had a part in it. Way later on when he's a grandpa, he's telling the story about how they built that wall in 52 days. Lord, it's great to be a part of something miraculous. It's great to just to have a vision delivered to a man of God and have a group of people that says, let us strengthen our hands, let us rise up and build. And unity is a wonderful thing, and cooperation and resourcefulness and work ethic. And Lord, paying whatever price and seeing you make up the difference, Lord, and overcoming fears and overcoming the threats and not being moved by the verbal assaults. And just, Lord, our face set like a flint and doing the work of God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, it'd be easy for us to back up. I imagine we'd face a lot less attacks around here if we sat on the sideline more. But I believe, Lord, this is the rapture generation. I feel like we've got to push harder than we ever have. And so, Lord, in doing so, we understand that we're going to stir up the enemy. Help us to be wise and sober. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors. Help us to be willing to stand and fight. Help us to stay focused on the work. We pray these things, please, in Jesus' name.